Hey, we've got a. This is one of the weirder of the human holidays. Today's called Black Friday, birds. It's the day after Thanksgiving, and the idea is that if you have any money left, you should spend it all today, if you can. Preferably at Amazon. What do you think? Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Here, Black Friday, it's here, 27th of November, and welcome to it on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Morning Wake Up, Let's Do It One More Day at a Time Here program from Bleat.network. Black Friday, I looked it up. Historians say the phrase originated in Philadelphia in the 1960s, when throngs of shoppers and tourists would descend on the city on the day between Thanksgiving and the Army-Navy football game on Saturday. So anyway, the Philadelphia cops took to calling the day Black Friday because officers had to work long hours and deal with bad traffic and bad weather and bad stuff. So first, the local retailers didn't like the name, the word black in front of a day of the week. I'm thinking about like a Black Tuesday when the stock market crashed, stuff like that. So they tried to rebrand it, calling it Big Friday, but that didn't catch on. So they went back to explaining that black means that everybody's not in the red anymore. They're in the blank. It was a key indicator for how you would do for your fourth quarter results, said Sean Grain Carter, a professor of management at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Anyway, starting in the 1980s, Black Friday expanded beyond Philadelphia with major retailers across the United States using the holiday to unveil their hottest new products and to offer steep discounts for customers willing to line up at the crack of dawn. And then we got Cyber Monday and Small Business Saturday. And anyway, welcome to Black Friday 2020. I'll tell you, I almost bought one of these here. We don't have an on-air light here at the studio. You know what an on-air light is? I'm sure you've seen those. It's a red light. Yeah, TV stations have them, red light over doors, so you don't walk in, you know, and somebody's talking on the... So we don't have an on-air light here. And I've always wanted one, you know, and there's a... I just got a Black Friday offer. You can buy an eye-catching on-air light. This looks pretty nice. See, here in this studio, we don't really care if anybody walks in or not. Actually, it enhances the show if somebody, you know, opens the door and starts blathering. So the other thing is, I looked at this. The way that it would work, see, if we installed the on-air light here at the pandemic studio, I actually have to be next to the bathroom. So I think that might be a little confusing. Let me work on that. You know, it's Jimi Hendrix's birthday today. Jimi Hendrix's birthday, and as a birthday gift, we played his hit and missing a channel. I'm not sure why that happens. Yeah, we'll figure it out. There's a lot of moving parts here, believe it or not. Anyway, you heard Purple Haze there at 11 after the hour here, which gives us an opportunity to talk about one of my favorite topics, the misunderstood song lyric. Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix. That's the number one. You heard that? Excuse me while I kiss the sky. You heard that? Kiss the sky. Besar el cielito. People seem to misunderstand, and they think that he's singing, excuse me while I kiss this guy. Jimmy himself was known to have some fun with what is probably the most widely known misunderstood song lyric. And here's a good one. You know what? I learn something every day on this show here. There's a name for this. The Mondegreen. It's a term coined by a writer whose name is Sylvia Wright. I don't think we're related. Anyway, she coined a term. This is about misunderstanding lyrics in poetry and stuff like that. So, Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix, number one on the misunderstood song lyric. It's not, excuse me, while I kiss this guy.
Wrong.
Yes, it's wrong. Frankly, that's wrong in so many different ways. How about number two? Ooh, now we got one. Elton John. The lyric that's actually in the song is Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer. But the misunderstood lyric is Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza. In the premiere episode of Friends' third season, Phoebe stated what millions of others had also believed when she claimed that the most romantic song ever was the one that Elton John wrote for the guy, Hold Me Close, Tiny Danza.
Wrong.
That's right. All right. Blinded by the Light by Manfred Mann. I didn't even, I had forgotten about this. This is a misunderstood lyric. The actual lyric is, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. And that is misunderstood as wrapped up like a douche, another rumor in the night. You can't say bad things about Manfred Mann. Summer of 49, and that song by Brian Adams, I remember this one. The actual lyric is, I got my first real six string. It's a guitar, my six string. And people thought that he was saying, I got my first real sex dream. Message in a Bottle by The Police. That's a good one. A year has passed since I wrote my note. Message in, you know that one? A message. All right. A year has passed since I wrote my note, which people thought was a year has passed since I broke my nose.
Wrong.
Yeah, that is wrong. All right. Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. I don't think I knew this one here. The actual lyric doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. And the misunderstood lyric is, it doesn't make a difference if we're naked or not.
Right.
No,
wrong.
That is wrong. All right. And then, all right, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by The Beatles. This has probably been misunderstood a zillion different ways. Anyway, the actual lyric is, the girl with kaleidoscope eyes, which... as misunderstood as the girl with colitis goes by. All right. Madonna. A Madonna like a virgin. Like a virgin touched for the very first time. According to this thing, the lyric, they think that she's saying like a virgin touched for the 31st time. Well, and then... as far as I'm concerned, the number one misunderstood lyric, ladies and gentlemen, I gotta go to the bathroom. Where is it? Oh, is the bathroom on the right?
Right.
Clearwater Revival. It's a bad moon rising, not a bathroom on the right. A misunderstood song lyric. I got to remember the name of that. What was that? What was that word that we just learned? A mondegreen, M-O-N-D-E-G-R-E-E-N, a term for a misunderstood song lyric. I love this stuff because it's Friday and we deserve some laughter. 17 after the hour. Speaking of Black Friday, and you can't go very far without mentioning Amazon. Amazon, you may know, has embarked on an extraordinary hiring binge this year, the New York Times telling us today. This is like Amazon.com day. They should just change the name from Black Friday to Amazon.com. Jeff Bezos day would be good. They are vacuuming up an average of 1,400 new workers a day. Who's making it in the economy? It's Amazon. The hiring has taken place at Amazon's headquarters in Seattle, hundreds of warehouses in rural communities and suburbs, and in countries like India and Italy. Amazon, get this, added 427,000 employees between January and October, pushing its workforce to more than 1.2 million people, up more than 50% from a year ago. The number of workers now approaches the entire population of Dallas. Yeah, the company has been going crazy since July. It brought on about 350,000 people back then. That's 2,800 a day. They've hired software engineers and hardware specialists, all kinds of stuff going on there. The scale of hiring is actually even higher than it may seem because the numbers don't account for employee churn, one of my favorite terms, employee churn. What happened to those employees? They were churned. They don't include the 100,000 temporary workers who've been recruited for the holiday shopping season. They also do not include the internal documents showing as that roughly 500,000 delivery drivers, those are contractors, they're not direct Amazon employees, 500,000 people. Whoa. So there you go. A salute to Amazon. I'm having a good time today, and I don't want to go crazy on the news here. All I got to say is that you get into some of the stuff. If you know anybody that ever worked for Amazon, it's not exactly the sweetheart job that you might imagine. And I am concerned that at the end of all this, we're not going to have any. I'm not going to have any bricks and mortar stores left. So anyway, I won't editorialize. Just remember, you know, when those stores close, the ones that you walk into with the door, it's hard to get them back open. So let's work on that. Economic philosophy as we think about stuff. Amazon doing their thing here. What else in the news today? Article in the Atlantic. I'm going to try to read here. America failed at the COVID, but the economy is okay. Why is that? I don't know. That seems to be the case, though. That's in the Atlantic. I'm going to try to read that over the weekend. Mashable. Did you see this? Trump finally emerged to speak, and he was at this little desk. Have you seen this? This is a funny video. Maybe they shrunk the desk. They shrunk the desk to make his ego feel bigger. Anyway, that is an interesting little video, and Mashable has some stuff about that. Speaking of videos, you know, we are, I think, lucky as we can be to have Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, who posted, I think, a really funny video yesterday about Thanksgiving, and it's all about kind of trying to, you know, trying to get people online and not operating devices correctly. The audio doesn't exactly translate, but it's worth a spin. Lori Lightfoot on trying to Zoom. I think Zoom giving. I think she was trying about as opposed to Thanksgiving. So anyway, that's interesting stuff. Today is Bruce Lee's birthday. Find that somewhere. What else we got here? Oh, I know. You know what we're going to do today? This is actually going to be interesting. I don't know anything about this at all. This is the birthday of the American Statistical Association.
What?
The American Statistical Association. I didn't really even know who they were or what they do. A very interesting organization. We're going to talk to the recorded voicemail that we get when we call them up. But I'm going to see if we can get Aaron, the news baron, to join us at some point. We'll talk about this. I think we should sponsor a membership for Aaron. Yeah, don't you think? I think so. So anyway, that's coming up today. Let's see here. And I got a bunch of stuff from Quora that we may get into today. All about the Secret Service, presidential limousines, things like that. Yeah. But let me be the first to say on this beautiful, beautiful Friday morning to you, hold me closer, Tony Danza. Tickets I've forgotten. Think of the a cappella version of that song in a movie called Almost Famous. Have you seen that one? That was the story of my life, and they do an a cappella take on Tiny Dancer on the airplane, I think, on that one. It's a half past the hour. It's Friday, finally. It's Black Friday. Whatever that means to you, the Friday between Thanksgiving and other. Kind of a hazy day outside. It's about 40 degrees. We'll have a little bit of weather over the weekend. Well, not much. Saturday, a high of 50 here in Chicago. Sunday, 52. And then Monday, the dreaded S word shows up again, a 50% chance of snow on Monday. But it should be a relatively easy weekend here. Saturday, tomorrow is going to be sunny, and then we'll have some clouds on the weekend. So, yeah. All right. The news is kind of... kind of news that we're kind of wrapping stuff up here on Wednesday. The Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania issued a temporary injunction prohibiting state officials from taking further action in certifying the 2020 election results, pending a hearing on mail-in ballots that is scheduled for today. Pennsylvania state officials filed an appeal to the state Supreme Court, said that an injunction will not impact the state's presidential election certification process. I think that those two things are in contrast. I read that three or four times, so we'll have to make sense of that. How about this? All right, how about this? I'll tell you, we're going to straighten some of this out. Two women who were detained in a small town in Montana for speaking Spanish after a Border Patrol agent heard them, have settled for an undisclosed amount after filing a lawsuit against the United States Customs and Border Protection people, the ACLU of Montana said on Tuesday. The women, this is in Montana, by the way, the women Anna Suda and Martha Hernandez were detained for about 40 minutes on May the 16th of 2018 after a Border Patrol agent overheard them what? Stabbing somebody, hitting somebody with a piece of wood, stealing a car? No. They were detained after someone heard them speaking Spanish. They were waiting in line to purchase milk and eggs at a town pump convenience store in Havre, Montana. It's about 35 miles south of Canada. So standing behind the two women in line, the Border Patrol agent, one Paul O'Neill, was greeted by Ms. Hernandez. He commented on her accent and asked the women where they were from. And they told him that they were from Texas and California. Mr. O'Neill then asked for their identification, and the two women gave him their valid state-issued driver's licenses. In a video of the encounter filmed by the women, one of them asked why Mr. O'Neill had requested identification, and he said, "Oh boy, the reason I asked you for your ID is because I came in here and I saw that you guys are speaking Spanish, which is very unheard of up here. You got a second? Let me give you a couple of Spanish words. San Francisco, Los Angeles, tamales. Huh? You're going to get, when you walk in and order Mexican food now, Hispanic food, you're going to get ID'd by somebody? Anyway, other Border Patrol agents soon arrived. And Ms. Suda asked the supervisor if she and Ms. Hernandez, this is good, would have been detained if they had been speaking French. He said, no, we don't do that. Ms. Suda was born in El Paso. Ms. Hernandez was born in El Centro, California. Both grew up speaking Spanish, and there you go. I don't know what to say. That's it, though. All right, so they settled for a fair amount of money, and yeah, that's the... That's the story. Do people not understand that not everyone is exactly like you are? Jeez, what happened to the idea of a melting pot here? I gotta say, I was talking to my sister in a related moment, I guess, who lives in Texas, and she's telling me the conversation with somebody that had said to her, oh, I think Trump has to have won. That had to be rigged. And she said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, I don't know anybody that voted for Biden. I mean, okay, all right. If you don't know anybody that voted for Biden, then maybe you think Trump won. If you don't know anybody that speaks Spanish, maybe you think they're from another planet. Anyway, I throw that out without any more editorial comment there. So, yeah, we're gonna straighten some of this stuff out now. Finally. Finally. What else can we do today? Tell you what, let's find another misunderstood song lyric and explain that. And I think we are, we'll see what we can do with the American Statistical Association. Call them up. Maybe we can get Aaron the News Baron up and see what's cooking with him. I want to get him a membership. Don't you think? Because he counts. That guy can count. No. That guy can count.
I'm
Like a Virgin. Touch for the 31st time. No, from the well, you know what that was supposed to be. As we do a parade of misunderstood song lyrics and great songs that they're a part of here. At 39 past the hour on Friday morning, Black Friday, as they say, from Chicago, here's Pandemic Pirate Radio on Bleat.network. So, tell you what, let's do something. I'm going to see if we can get... we got our FaceTime connected. I'm going to call up Aaron the News Baron. And we will see if we can make some sense of the American Statistical Association. I woke up and said, that's, what is that? What is the? Well, all right, let's do something here. You said what? Explain that? I've got just the man who can do it. His name is Roger.
When I explain to people why statistics is amazing, they're usually the first thing I say is that it's a great job for meeting other people. Over the course of my career, I've worked with a pediatrician, I worked with a firefighter for the U.S. Forest Service, I've worked with atmospheric chemists, I've worked with climate change specialists and computer scientists, and it's just a lot of fun to be able to work with these people and to learn their expertise and to solve important problems with them. The one thing I wish someone had told me about statistics before I got into it is that it's not just about math. Statistics is not just fitting equations, solving problems, things like that. Statistics is a huge field. It's about asking scientific questions. It's about working with other people. It's about understanding data in the real world. One of the coolest examples of statistics in action that I've seen in recent time was done by Chris Valinsky, who's the head of the statistics group at AT&T Research. He did something really cool, which is that he won the Netflix prize. He led the team that created a better movie rating system for Netflix, and it beat out hundreds and hundreds of other teams that were vying for the $1 million prize. It used to be weird to say that statisticians are working in baseball to figure out who, you know, what players should be traded, but now everyone's doing that. So sports, commerce, everywhere that you go, statistics is being used. Being a statistician means you get to be at the center of everything. You get to bring all this stuff together, you get to process that information, you get to build the evidence, make decisions. So I think if you want to be in the middle of it all, of all this information that that the world is generating, you need to be a statistician.
I'm in. I'm ready, boy. That message took a minute and 47 seconds, so we're right there. Aaron the Statistics Baron joining us this morning. Are you up on this? I kind of knew what this thing was this morning. I looked it up, but I was not well-versed in what they do. I'm guessing that you were aware of the American Statistics Association yourself.
I looked it up earlier, and I was going through their bylaws. I'm not too sure what they do, but I have a familiarity with what they are.
They apparently do everything. According to that guy, he was out of breath. Did you hear him just now? I can't wait for you to get down here after the COVID so we can shuffle paper together. We're saluting them because they were founded on this day in 1839. President Martin Van Buren was a member, pretty cool guy. And get this, you know, it was all about men in those days. Not that that's changed, but Florence Nightingale, who was well known for her contribution to the medical field, of course, she became a member. I guess she was using statistics to, in data collection. So anyway, so cool. All right. Should we call him up? You want to do it?
They go for it.
Let's go and see what we can, see if we can get you a free membership. You know how well things go when I just make phone calls. All right, it's the American Statistical Association. They're on North Washington Street in Alexandria, Virginia. Let's give it a spin, should we? Let's see here. Alrighty. 703-684. One, two, two, one.
Thank you for calling.
Here we are. You're going to sing along here. Like a virgin. What happens now? I think we get somebody coming on here in a second. There's a bathroom on the right. Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Here it is. I hear the music stopping now.
Association, ASA. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time. For customer service, dial 1, and for our company directory, dial 2. To leave a voicemail, please dial 0.
I'm going to try 1. Does that sound good?
Thank you for calling the American Statistical Association, ASA.
All right.
If you know your party's extension,
That was a 1. If it gets to a 2, we need to get a professional. What is this, more music? See, what I want to find out is whether or not you can join.
Do they have like a lead statistician? How does that work? How does that break down the hierarchy?
Well, I'm going to ask them. You know when I'm going to ask them? I'm going to ask them after this music is over, and we'll see what the deal is. I just don't quite understand.
We are sorry. There is no one available to take your call.
Well, all right.
Please record your message after the tone. Press star to discard the recording, or press any digit to end the recording.
Hi, it's Gary Lee Wright at the Bleat Network. We're calling from Chicago this morning. I understand that today is the anniversary of the association. So we wanted to say a happy birthday. And we're very interested in our news director maybe becoming a member. So can you let us know how that works? Tell you what, we have a toll-free number. It's 844-220-3300. If you'd be nice enough to have someone call us back, maybe we could, count the ways that we can restore the economy together, something like that. So it's Gary Lee Wright, 844-220-3300. And again, happy birthday. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. What do you think, Aaron? Sounds like I need another line of work, doesn't it? So anyway, yeah, you and I actually, when we talk, we're often talking numbers. And I'm just looking at all the statistics. You know, this thing was founded and then World War I happened. And then World War II happened. And now, as you heard in that clip from Roger, they're involved in all kinds of stuff. So I think this is pretty interesting. Yeah.
Right.
You strike me as... you said the other day on the air, in fact, I should put this as a drop-in. You said, people like to count things. Remember that? You said that?
You did. You do, yes.
And truer words are never spoken. So, all right, we're going to get that going. I don't know what the dues are. I hope it's not expensive.
Damn. I'm looking on their website here. Can't see.
Doesn't say?
It doesn't.
Yeah. That's usually a tip-off.
Right. That's how they...
you need send no money now. Does it say your mileage may differ under the thing?
I think there's just a part in the contract about your firstborn son.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, listen, while they're calling us back here, I thought I would chart our next few weeks here on the air. I was going to get us going on Quora. You know what Quora is? I know you know what Quora is.
Mm-hmm.
I started a Quora something here.
Cool.
And I don't, no one's asking me anything that I wanted to answer yet. But they have some interesting things. You and I have been talking about the presidency. And the stuff about the Secret Service here. I thought this was interesting. And I know the thing, Aaron, people just kind of answer, it could be somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about, but I gather that some of this stuff is legitimate. Anyway, somebody asked, what president did the Secret Service like the most? You want to take a guess on this? I give you a most and least in our lifetime.
Most. I want to say Clinton, maybe.
Wrong.
No, that's wrong. Not only is that wrong, Hillary was detested. Apparently, she wanted him to like carry luggage and stuff, and they're like, hey, I have to, you know, I got a firearm here. I can't carry your suitcase. Yeah, she apparently was not well liked. Many people think that the Clintons were bad. I'm reading this is Rick Sheehy, but Trump is the worst.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah, he blows up at agents for otherwise trivial things. He's fired so many agents that nobody can count. But Aaron, you can't fire a Secret Service agent.
Right. I was just wondering how that works.
They say, Bob, don't go in the back where he can't see you anymore. And Trump thinks that he's fired them. So that's what's going on. Apparently he likes to hear about all the threats that he's gotten. So
Makes him remember that one time he walked up the steps of the airplane with the tissue over his foot.
toilet paper. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
They're not sworn to tell him that. Will you take a bullet for the guy? Yes. Will you tell him about the toilet paper? No, we will not do that.
You have to ask him about that. I have to think about that one.
So his rallies are a nightmare, it says here, because they have to confiscate so many weapons from people coming in. It's a Second Amendment party when people show up at Trump rallies. How about this? The one that they loved. And I've read this before, were the Bushes. George H.W. Apparently Barbara would come out with coffee for them. And George W. Bush, God bless him, he used to wait to fly out to his ranch until late on Christmas morning so the agents could have Christmas morning with their families. That's nice.
That is, yeah, very.
I like that, so. All right. And it says they got along good with the Obamas, too, here. Better than the Bush girls. See, now they take it back. They put it in, and they take it back. All right. So
Weren't they sneaking out and stuff to parties?
Say again?
Weren't the Bush girls, like, sneaking out to parties?
The Bush girls, yeah. Yeah.
I think something about that.
I think it's interesting. You know, I was trying to, in an unrelated thread here, I was trying to get an interview with Ron Reagan, as in Ron Reagan's son, who, I don't know, like there's a million things that I've never met the guy. He and I were on the radio sort of opposite together when he was doing a syndicated thing. Anyway, he grew up to some extent in the White House. And I thought it'd be interesting to ask him, you know, like what, you know, what's that all about? And, you know, is there, I don't know, who knows? But I thought that would be interesting, you know.
That would be.
Yeah. We'll get him going there. All right, let's do this. You want to try we're going to try out a game here. I'm going to see. We have a game show without contestants, which is, we try to do. We don't. We have no prizes. We have no contestants. All right, let's do this. I am thirsty, and let me just get a quick refreshment here, and then we'll come back and we'll play one here.
Give your youngsters a lot of pleasure with Kool-Aid. You know it's pure and good. It has the Parents Magazine seal.
Oh.
And it's so thrifty. Mm. A 5-cent package makes 2 full quarts.
Mm.
Just add Kool-Aid to water with ice. Add some sugar and stir.
For the very best drink you ever made.
Be sure that the envelope says Kool-Aid.
Boy, I lived on that. No matter my teeth are missing. That was it. You know, the whole thing, it was sugar, water, and the stuff. So, all right. We are being brought to you by Kool-Aid today, and our imaginary sponsor. All right, we have a game show for America. We're going to just try this out. Aaron and I will. Let's see here. What do you need for a game show? Okay, you need... okay, you need a good theme song.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
How's this sound? This sounds like you're about to win a car, doesn't it? I don't think Aaron can hear this.
I can now.
Can you now?
Yeah.
We're on delay. This is the wiggiest thing I've ever done in my life. Actually, the people that are hearing us right now, they're hearing something that you said to me last week. That's what's happening here. That's how far off we are. All right. All right, this is called Radio Rebus. And the idea of a rebus, back in the day, Aaron, we used to have a lot of, you know, sort of visual puzzles. And a rebus was, and it could be a picture of somebody smiling, and then maybe there was a picture of a turkey, and that would be Happy Thanksgiving. That's what that would have meant. With me?
Right.
All right, so we went to this idea of a radio rebus, where if we got some sounds together, then they would suggest an answer. You with me? Understand the concept here?
Yeah.
All right, okay, let's see what we're going to do. So this, I'm going to give you, this is an event. This is a two-word answer here. Let me just get my right thing here. All right, here we go. This is an event now. Two words. First word is... That is Donald Trump. Now that was that. Do you hear that sound?
This is I saw.
It's a pig. You got a pig? All right. All right. So that you heard, and then the second part is the. All right. So put that together, and you have the two-word phrase. I'll give it to you again. The thing that sits on your dresser when you're a kid. It is a...
You said this was an event?
Yeah, it's a... Well, I'm sorry. It's a... God, I'm sorry. No. It's an object. I misread this. What'd you say?
Piggy bank.
Piggy bank.
Right.
There it is. Okay, thank God. You know what's really funny about this? I just realized I've got the answers wrong. We don't have another contestant. I'm not even sure what we're doing here. But you've won so far. You've won. All right. Here's a good one here. All right. This now is an event. You ready? This is an event. Oh boy. Vasectomy. No. Let's see here. Okay. So we had that, and then put that together with, stop it. Jeez. All right, so you got that, and then...
A baby shower.
Baby shower!
Right.
There it is! Unbelievable! All right, you know, if the statistical people are listening right now, you're in. All right, let's do one quick one here. Wow, all right, this is a hard one. We'll see how you do. This is a phrase... let's see here... All right, here we go. You got something in the face. You got hit. You got hit. Hit. Hit.
Hit.
Did you say hit?
Hit.
All right, so hit, and then what are we hitting?
Couldn't hear that one.
Hit the gas. Hit the gas.
Gas?
Right.
There you go. Aaron, you've won. You know what your prize is? You get to go home now. This white cast produced by Natasha Rodriguez. Have the best weekend you can, everybody. See you Monday.
I see trees of green. Red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. Like much more than I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.